Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Pony Sync call, February 28th, 2018. We'll start off looking at some RFCs today. I believe we have some discussion going on recently with RFC ticket 120. With Luke putting in his pull request for compile time expressions. There was Benoit posted a comment about how this relates to separate compilation that I think we could maybe spend a little bit of time discussing here at the top. As I understand it, the gist of the comment is roughly that Luke's RFC involves compile time expressions to have access to the source code of another package, which is problematic for the separate compilation feature that Benoit's working on. He gave a few various ideas for how we could approach this. One was to store the package AST in the compiled archive. He said this is problematic because the AST format is not stable, takes a lot of space, and would be quite slow to parse. There's a store LLVM bitcode in the compiled archive. This is problematic because with the AST format, this is not a stable format either. And calls to the runtime are hard-coded in the generated bitcode. So this problem could be mitigated by using the LLVM JIT and providing hooks for runtime functions. That's a point to discuss. And the other approach would be to use the final machine code of the compiled archive. It says the main problem here is hard-coded runtime calls. I think I want to probably get some clarification about that. And then I guess one more approach that he suggested was to add another compiler stage between the AST and the LLVM code gen that would be composed of our own IR format, which we could design as being stable and compact and fast to parse and can be directly imported into the compiler for the purpose of compile time expressions or for separate compilation in general. So I had some questions about this that we can maybe discuss here. So let's talk about the third bullet point you have there, which is use the final machine code of the compiled archive, where you say the main problem here is hard-coded runtime calls. Can you elaborate a little bit on that?
Yeah, so for example, one example that I have for that is object location. So in compiled Pony code, objects are allocated with the Pony alloc function in the runtime, which will allocate memory on the heap of the current actor. But in the context of a compile time expression, ideally for compilation speed, we'd want to directly encode the object in the static memory of the package. So
right.
it's not a blocking problem, since it would result in additional copies. But I think there could also be some problems with for example, cross-compilation. Of course, we could say that a compiled package is only it can only target one specific platform, similar to, for example, an object file for compiled C code.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we could gain some flexibility by having the compiled package be able to target multiple platforms.
Okay. So I think that provides a reasonable overview. The point you made about allocating and writing the object into the static memory of the package versus allocating, I was actually picturing it as maybe being something that got allocated at the start of the program onto a heap. I could see why the other would be desirable. And I guess even if you allocate at the start of the program, you have to define which pony alloc actor that's associated with. I guess it would have to be executed in the context of like the main actor or something like that.
Yes.
With regard to targeting multiple platforms, I don't know. I think that one issue with targeting multiple platforms is that if you have ifdefs that are platform specific, that would mean that we can't. I think right now the compiler resolves those ifdefs fairly early in the compilation process. And I think if you want the same pony IR output to support multiple platforms, we'd have to delay platform detection and ifdef resolution until after the stage where this IR happens, which is probably not a blocking problem, but it's something to consider. I mean, we still do type checking as if any branch of the ifdef could be active. But maybe it causes problems for ifdef package imports.
That's a very good point. And I think we will have to discuss it in more details.
I think that maybe, you know, for the purposes of, I kind of think it makes sense that a compiled pony package using separate compilation would only target one platform that it was compiled on, and maybe we have some other deliverable you could use that, like, where you compile for every platform, and then on the other side, those only need to be linked together, like, using even... Because if we do it that way, then I think you could maybe do this even using like a C linker instead of using the Pony compiler. Like you could just deliver your package as an object file, and on the other end, you don't need a Pony compiler to put it together. You just need to use a standard linker.
I don't think that would be possible because in order to build virtual tables for types, we need to, the way the current algorithm works, we need to know every type in the program. So the way I envision it would be that when you're compiling a package as a standalone entity, it would generate a function and stuff, but the virtual table indexes wouldn't be generated, and they would instead be generated later when you link every package together.
So I thought you had some open PRs about making it so the algorithm didn't have to know about all the types available in the program.
Those pull requests are only for stuff that generated in the functions, because basically generating the code for functions is the most expensive step of code generation, and generating type descriptors which are the entities that hold the virtual table. Generating type descriptors is less expensive, so I think it would make sense to have the most expensive step generated early when you have only one package, and then to keep the least expensive steps that need to be done when you know every type in the program, to do these steps later in the process.
Okay, that makes sense. All right, so I guess I probably have some other questions related to separate compilation, but those could probably be delegated to, when you eventually file an RFC on that topic. I'm just trying to think about stuff that relates to this. So right now, when you talk about having a Pony dedicated IR similar to what Rust did with MIR, I think that's an interesting thing to talk about because, for example, when I eventually make some more progress with Pony CC, it would make it such that generating the IR could be the final step, and then let that IR get imported into original Pony C for all of the LLVM code gen stuff, which would save a lot of steps into like validating that Pony CC is a reasonable compiler before having to implement all of the LLVM code gen stuff. So I find it appealing for that reason. I haven't really looked very much at Rust's MIR, but I don't know. I'm a little bit concerned that this would be, adding a lot of maintenance burden, but at the same time, I think it's a pretty cool feature in terms of opening up the Pony ecosystem to a little more interchangeability in the tooling. I guess it's something to think about as we go forward. If we do that step, then is there anything that we need to amend about Luke's RFC, assuming that we do this step of having a Pony IR stage between right before LLVM code gen?
No, and I think we can go ahead right now with Luke's RFC. Because even if we decide to implement a Pony specific intermediate representation, it's still quite far down the road, and I don't want to delay Luke's work because of that.
Right. Okay.
Do we want to put it into final comment period already? Like, do you feel satisfied and confident enough?
I'd be in favor of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Me too. So anybody else? Any objections? Yes, then do we apply a special label? Yes, I'm gonna hit final comment period. I'm also going to write to the developer mailing list. Cool.
All right, and I'm writing a quick comment there on the RFC.
Cool.
That's done. Are there any other RFCs that we wanted to discuss before moving on?
So I think we have three new ones. One is renaming the logger in NetHttp, which is kind of blocked or obsolete by removing the HTTP server from the standard library 117. And that is depends on some more input by Sean. So yeah, I guess if we don't want to, I think that's it.
So I'm curious, Benoit and you had the mentioned opposition to this. Are you still as opposed if this is not going to be in the standard library anymore? Would you both still be opposed to making this apply to the new repository? Or I'm just curious your thoughts on that.
You're talking about 116, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Personally, I still think that there is a semantic problem with that class and that the naming isn't the only issue.
Yeah.
But since it would be outside of the standard library, if we go ahead with Sean's RFC, it would be less problematic to have duplication with some part of the standard library, since one of the thing would be outside of it.
Right.
I fully agree with Benoit. I just think that we, or like anybody who's taking up maintaining this one, like someone of us, someone else, that we should take great care about this library, as it is kind of the, I think, a very important part of every like programming language is the HTTP, HTTP2, whatever interface. As it's like a go-to approach, building something around it for people. So starting with writing some HTTP stuff. And I think renaming is definitely necessary, and the semantic problems, I think they also should also be fixed, but doesn't necessarily be part of this RFC.
Okay. Do you want to write a comment to that effect? If you think there's anything new about that statement, do you want to write a comment to that effect on the RFC, and then I'll move on to the next one?
Okay.
If you don't think that there's anything new about what you said, then that's fine. You don't need to, but
Okay. I add a little bit. You can already progress.
Okay. So, So 117 is waiting for feedback from Sean. So we'll wait for that one. Any other RFCs that people want to discuss before we move on to pull requests and issues? All right. And we are coming up on the halfway mark. So if anybody has any particular pull request or issue tickets they want to raise to start with, feel free to do that now, or we can just go dig into the ones that have labels.
I want my RFC 50 to be merged. It's pull request 2543. So I requested input from Sean, But just as he was kind of responsible for DocGen lately, but any other input is already, like, Joe, you already approved. So I would love to see this in this
day. Yeah. So you were the one who requested feedback from Sean. Do you want to just dismiss it, or
it seems rude, but I'm excited to get this merged.
Okay. So. Well, yeah. Since you were the one who originally requested the review and not Sean himself, I think that's fine to just say that you no longer care as long as I approve. So that's fine. I will remove him from the requested reviewers and. That's done. This already has a changelog label. If you want to feel free to merge, or I can do it.
I do it. Thanks.
Great.
I'm going to excuse for Sean.
Six. Pull request. I think that this should be good to merge. If you're comfortable merging it, Benoit.
Sorry, I didn't hear which one.
2566.
Oh yeah, I think it's good to merge.
All right. I don't think it requires any change log labels, so I'm. It probably does, actually, because you can, it's a change to the interface 20C. So I'll have change log added to it. There we go. And that's been merged. Let's look at 2568. Is anybody, so this is, changing the C flags that are passed to the, open call, in the FFI call here, that, is previously using read write flag, but the, files being opened for read only according to the doc string of this constructor. I think this seems appropriate to merge. Does anybody have an issue with this before I do?
There's something missing in line 163. It's setting the rights for the file descriptor to writable. This also needs to be changed.
Well, the value of the writable variable is a Boolean value.
Ah, okay. Sorry. Yes. Okay. Boom. Okay. Good to go. Sorry, I missed this.
I have a question. I'm not really familiar with the file API, so maybe this will be a dumb question, but what would happen if after opening the file, I try to set it as writable. I don't even know if there is a function for that, but if there is, we need to make sure that it does the right thing and that it will set the file permissions correctly.
Yeah. I'm not super familiar with the file package either. I don't think that the write exists here. Let me see here. So it requires a fun ref to do a write operation. And this constructor seems to return a ref by nature, that being the default. So, but I'm guessing it relies on this file des. It relies here on the file des separate. Yeah, so I'm wondering if we need to see. I don't see any. Let's see if pending writes does anything or queue. Queue just adds the data structure. Pending writes. Does it check capabilities? I don't see anything about that. So I'm thinking that maybe this needs to get changed so that the constructor returns new box. So instead of new ref.
But it looks like the read functions, so read, line, etc., which require a ref receiver.
Okay.
So maybe there is another issue with the way the capability security on that API works.
So it uses when a file is opened with the open constructor, it sets the capsicum writes to not writable. And I think this limits the process to making just a certain set of syscalls, right?
I think if you see that's guarded by an if def or FreeBSD or Capsicum available, so
yeah, I know it.
On platforms where that's not available, we can't trust that to
work
for us. So it seems like we need to set. Maybe that's where flag. What maybe that's what flag is for. That's a local variable. It seems like. All right. So we have a writable Boolean field here, and we need to see if that's checked. So write to disk. Okay. Write to disk checks the writable flag, the write to disk function. Write to disk is called by pending writes. So I think we're okay. Because it will not, it won't do any writes to the where's the error? I think we probably want it to raise an error if writable. Not super clear here, but at least we do know that writable is set to false, so it's not going to. This PR is not making things any worse than they already are in terms of, I think that we probably need to examine how the file API here is communicating an issue to you if you, or like it seems to be that like if you open it without the write permission and you try to write data, it will silently swallow that data without letting you know anything either at compile time or runtime, which seems like a problem. But this PR is not making that problem worse or better. It's only changing the syscall to use the right permissions, which is a desirable change. So.
Yes.
Anybody have anything else to say about that? All right.
So we should definitely do this and maybe open a separate issue for adding more tests on the behavior of file.
Yeah, I think that we need to add an issue to figure out how, add a test and handle how to handle errors when you opened a file with read-only permissions and try to write to it. So if you can open that issue, I'm going to make a comment on this issue, this PR.
Yes.
And I'm going to merge the
Yes.
So let's 2552 has activity since I last looked at it. Looks like the tests were added. Let's take a look at those. It looks good to me. I'm going to go ahead and merge this unless anyone speaks up. After I come up with a better title for the change log. Right, I'm going to merge that. I see do not merge on a lot of pull requests. So really quick on 2565 pull request. Benoit, is this one of the ones that might have a performance impact, or is this just, it looks like this is not one of those pull requests that might have a performance impact?
No, this one doesn't change how code is generated. It only changes the order in which things are generated, So there is no performance effect. Yeah.
Okay, great. In that case, I will merge it. And there were a few other pull requests that, yeah, we put the do not merge label on because of that performance testing that needs to, or at least inquiry that needs to be done. Let's move over into issue tickets that have the needs discussion label. 2564. We have, it looks like we have the author here with us today.
That's
right. Yeah, so do you want to say anything to introduce the ticket?
Basically adding ALPN, so application layer protocol negotiation support, to the NetSSL package, which is a pre-requirement to having an HTTP2 web server that works with Chrome.
Okay, very cool. So let's see. I'm looking at the repo that you linked to, the SSL context .pony file. Can you point me to the parts of the file that have changed, aside from that use lib ALPN, which I assume would probably go away if it got incorporated into the standard pony. I see funref set ALPN protos. Is that the main impact here, or is there something else to discuss?
That is the only change made in the context file.
Okay. I'm not super familiar with this part of SSL. I don't know if anyone else on the call is, but this seems like a small and pretty reasonable change to incorporate in. Did anybody have any general comments about that aspect?
So it's, as far as I know, it's the ALPN API was introduced in OpenSSL 1.0.2. So it's not available in earlier versions. And so I think we still support earlier versions, and I don't think if every distro is already on 1.0.2. So I guess I have to take a look at the SSL context, but I guess we can only make it available for if OpenSSL 1.1.0 is defined.
So it seems like we could just make this function a no-op if OpenSSL 1.0 is not available.
Yeah.
Okay. And given that we already have that, ifdef available. So yeah, I think that makes sense. This would just be guarded by an ifdef OpenSSL 1.1.0, and we'd incorporate the contents of your ALPN.c into our pony shims that we have.
Well, I'm not entirely sure how sophisticated this ALPNC is, because it I pretty much hacked it together to get H2 working, but it so it will give the like the first matched output, but you don't get any feedback as to what protocol actually gets used.
Okay, so there's more work that would need to be done here to support. Are you interested in working on that and contributing it up to the standard library, or like should I assign you to this ticket and kind of coordinate with you to give you any guidance about how to incorporate it into the Pony code base, or are you looking for somebody else to help pick it up from here?
Yeah, I'd like to do it myself.
Okay. So yeah, I'm not sure if you're a member of the organization yet. Yeah, it seems that, or at least I'm able to assign you to the ticket, maybe because you filed it. So I've added you as an assignee of this ticket, and I'm going to say it's a enhancement in progress as the status, if there's any questions you have now, we can try to answer those, or if you come up with questions, you can ask them in the ticket and we can try to help you out. Did you understand the part about guarding it with the ifdef or OpenSSL 1?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I have to look into what the definition, the SSL definitions are called, but yeah, got the gist.
Okay, great. Well, awesome. Thank you for bringing it to our attention. Thank you for working on it. Moving on to other issues that we have that are labeled need discussion during sync. Let's take a look at 59. This is something that Benoit, have you had a chance to see this one yet?
I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah, it seems to be that it was a git bisect pulled up this as a something that changed in one of your commits to change the change more malloc calls to the pool allocator.
Yeah, I'm looking at the log of the commit in git. So I'm not sure. Wait. Yeah, so that commit isn't it didn't touch the way the memory for serialization is allocated. So, wait, Tom, maybe let me take another look. Yeah, no, it didn't. So, I'm not sure what's going on here. I suspect it's a double free problem, but I'm not sure where it is coming from. I'll have to run that code with a valgrind on to see if it reports anything. So yeah, I'll assign Malte to the ticket and see what I can find.
Okay. So apart from that one, we have 2554. I feel like this is a topic we've discussed before, but I don't remember the outcome of it. when we have somebody who wants to contribute to the project as a translator to another language from English, the question would be, what is our suggested path for someone who's interested in doing that, and what should we do to support them? I think the obvious or not so obvious issue to contend with in a situation like this is we want to make sure that as we update documentation, the updates can be, without significant commitment from the translator, we can't be sure that all updates will be translated in a timely manner. And I think this is a common problem that open source projects run into when they have translations available. This is just off the top of my head, but I think from my memory, I think Rust does something like they have a set of unofficial to official, I'm not sure what the status is, but a set of translations of the Rust book that they link to from their website that are not in any guaranteed state of being up to date, but they are a valid translation. Maybe we could do something similar to that with the Pony tutorial and say, if you're looking for this tutorial in another language, we have these other languages available that we can link to, but we can't guarantee that there will be 100% up to date. Maybe that's the best we can do, and maybe that's what we should do. I'm interested in hearing other people's thoughts on that.
Yeah, I think that would be the best solution for now.
Yeah, me too. So okay. Maybe it might also be possible that we take over responsibility for hosting them. But given there will be something, so.
Yeah, so do we want to create a repository in the PonyLang organization on GitHub for such a project when it comes up? Or, it's just so that it can be passed on, like if we have one translator for Spanish come and then do the initial pass, and then a few months later we have a different translator who wants to do updates. They can contribute to it in the same place. Does that make sense, rather than making it be under their own GitHub personal account and maybe not being accessible to the next translator?
Yeah, that makes sense for accessibility. It nonetheless gives it a kind of, like, we should state that it's unofficial translation, so, but yeah, makes sense.
Yeah, I agree. We should have that caveat there, but at least it would make it so that the work can get passed on more easily than if it's under a single person.
Yeah.
I think it would be a bit problematic to have something on the PonyLang organization that is kind of unofficial. Maybe create a new organization for that. Maybe that would be too much administrative trouble. But yeah, I'm a bit wary of having unofficially supported stuff on the PonyLang organization.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think this is something that Sean probably has some opinions about, because he does a lot of that kind of administrative stuff. So maybe it's something that we should wait and keep it on the docket. Maybe I'll leave this label on and try to summarize the things we just said into a comment, and then keep the label on, and maybe we can try to talk to Sean about it at the next sync call.
But if there's anything that requires or would benefit from translation, it is the tutorial, right? and not so much the PonyC doc as it is generated from the source code. So
yeah, I think that's another, I think definitely it should be something where we start with the tutorial, and if somebody wants to push farther, we'll have to figure out how to support multi-language package doc strings.
Yeah.
Which is a difficult situation, but not necessarily impossible. It could just be a matter of having, you know, a secondary set of files that are accessible to PonyC while generating, and say, here's the doc string that replaced this other one for internationalization purposes in this language. So that each doc string has like a way to locate it, either, you know, like by package name or by the type name and method name, for example, if it's a method doc string.
Yeah.
And then you'd be able to have a file where you say, okay, I want to replace this package doc string with this string, and I want to replace this, you know, type dot method name with this string, and this, you know, field name with this string, and go down the list and just have a bunch of replacements that get processed by the PonyC doc generator.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think like most internationalization frameworks that exist do exactly this, right? So it could be exploited for, Cool.
And that's something that would ideally tie in with some kind of like, you know, more complete Pony package manager that would know how to find the internationalization files for a particular package without necessarily having to distribute them every time somebody downloads the package. Yeah, but for now, let's stick to the tutorial scope, unless, you know, we get a lot of interest in doing more than that. I'm going to type up a comment that looks like that. I guess we're at the end of the call, so I shouldn't ask if anybody has anything else. But does anybody have anything else they want to squeeze in here before the end of the call? Okay. Well, thank you, everyone, and have a pleasant week.
Thanks, Joe.